Wednesday at 9:25 p.m.
Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen. And we have a special guest today.
Who would that be?
It's Joanne.
Kia ora, guys.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Joanne.
Joanne is a wonderful lady who has been teaching me and a lot of other people all the wonders of rongoā, which is... Can you explain?
Ai. Tēnā koutou katoa ko Joanne Hakaraia Olsen tōku ingoa. Nō Ngāti Raukua ki te tonga a hau. And very, very happy to be here to be with Selena and Karen. Rongoā Māori is the traditional Māori medicine of Aotearoa. It's actually a health system, but the main thing that I work with is other plants. Just like herbal medicine, we work with the native plants of Aotearoa.
That's so wonderful because they are all around us. You know, you just go in the bush and they're there. And they have all these wonderful properties that not everyone will know about. So that's why we have you, Joanne, and all the wonderful wisdom that you gained as tangata whenua to show us how these plants are used in for our health and our well-being.
Mm.
Yeah.
So this is like an ancient, well, would you, are the Maori people, would you consider an ancient civilization or?
Yeah, well, so Rongoā's been around for a long, long time. And so the plants of Aotearoa have been here for over 65 million years.
Mm.
So you look at the DNA of the plants and working on the energetics of those plants as well. So what was your question, Selena?
Oh, well, these plants for our health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we use them or how can they help us be healthy?
Yeah. So there's been a resurgence on learning rongoā. And as with any herbal medicine, there's a lot of health and safety around it as well. So anything that we talk about today, I would suggest not tasting them or doing anything with the plants unless you can fully identify them or if you know, if you're with someone that's experienced.
That's so important.
Yeah.
So the first part when I was first learning it with you was just identifying each plant, just getting familiar with them, knowing their names, and looking at their properties and the leaves and the shape of the flowers and
It's one of the first things I teach is to actually is around whanaungatanga, which is building relationships, and so it's building a relationship with the plant first, what it looks like. So that comes with identification and getting to know what it looks like in its environment and then understanding the environment itself, so looking at the soil. So for me, teaching that is the most important part and then connecting to it on a soul level, I guess, from a wairua perspective, because
mm-hmm.
that is the main thing of rongoā Māori.
Because they're not in isolation, are they, these plants? They're not just, we just collected them and here they are.
Yeah.
They're living in a place and they have a purpose for that place.
That's right. So every plant that you see, there's a reason why it grows where it does, and how it works with Papatuanuku, the Earth's Mother, is how it will work with us, with our bodies as well, or very similar.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. That's very, very, very exciting. But that plant identification is really, really important just to build that whanaungatanga with it.
Yes, so I've been writing all these plant names down, been learning so much. But tell us, Joanne, how did you first get into rongoā? Was it something handed down by your parents or your ancestors, your family, whānau?
So when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, rongoā wasn't, that name wasn't really around. It was just a health system that was just used. Like it was just there. It was just normal part of life. So it wasn't separated or put into a specific box.
Yeah.
That's what you can learn. It was a part of life. And so I used to watch my father. He'd play rugby and get lots of injuries. And he would always be using particular plants to because he just wanted to get back out on the field really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wanted to use just plants that would just fix him really quickly.
And they can.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
So rongoa, is that translated as, is it Maori plant?
Yeah, so rongoa.
Medicine.
Rongoa means the senses.
Okay.
So rongo is about the senses of the whole of the whole being. So using mainly the intuitive part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what rongoa is.
Mm-hmm. So your father was like almost intuitive to what would work for him at that time. He obviously didn't study it up or have any fancy qualifications. He just knew.
Yeah, he just knew what plants to use.
Yeah.
Because it's just that's how things were handed down.
Yes,
you watch the elders and what they worked with and what they use,
yeah.
And then you try and remember what plants.
And
they
so,
are.
Joanne, that's what you're bringing back to our community, to us, is that passing on of knowledge.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Which seems to have, I feel like it's disappeared a lot. Like
yes,
as
yeah.
the generations of. Yeah, it's become established into the new ways of living and everything.
So when you're injured on the rugby field, what can you find?
Yeah.
Like to...
Yeah.
So one of the plants that he used, so this one's not native, it can be found everywhere, but it's the kupa kupa plant or the plantain, mm-hmm. Plantago mm-hmm. major. And because he used that because it's grown everywhere.
Mm.
And so it's just natural. It just makes sense that you would use plants that are in abundance.
Yeah.
Rather than, because when you're injured or sick, you don't want to go looking for plants. Mm. You want to use what's around you.
Mm.
So kupa kupa was one of the plants that he used to draw out all the toxins and impurities from his wounds and gashes. And plus, kupa kupa or plantain is a really quick healer in that it's an antimicrobial.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Do you guys use the broadleaf plantain for
both.
That?
We use the blow, so... Both? We use both. So we use the narrow leaf and the
I've got
broadleaf.
Plenty of that in my lawn.
I was just thinking about
plantain this morning for some reason. That's so weird.
That's so cool because it's plants that grows everywhere. That and when I start talking, teaching people about that plant, they see it everywhere.
Mm.
And then their lawns start to grow and they become unruly.
Here it is. Leave that one alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A great one to have in the lawn if you have any sort of incident with the lawnmower or any sort of... Because it's good for cuts as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for rashes, cuts, mosquito bites. So even if you're working in the garden, look for kupa kupa or even dock.
Oh, yeah.
Which will actually help the scrapes.
Soothe
and
it.
Yeah.
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 So you'll just grab a leaf and then just apply it to...
Yeah, just mash it up in between your fingers or your teeth so a bit of juice comes out and then just put that on there.
And I've heard that it's best to use your own spit.
Yeah.
As well. So I'm serious, like, rather than,
someone else's.
Because it assimilates with your blood system.
That's right.
Rather than, so if you're a mum and you're instantly... Well, I mean, I had my mum, do the old spit on the hanky, but maybe she...
Spit and polish.
I read that somewhere. Actually, I read that in Isabel Shepherd's, she's an Australian herbalist. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she talked a lot of plantain and said, that's where I read that.
Right.
Yeah, she said, if you're going to do it and spit it, chew it up and then spit it and put it on your wound, use your own. Or if someone's injured, get them to chew it. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that it's not restricted to just the native plants? It's plants that are common everywhere.
Yeah.
And so rongoa isn't just with the Māori. It's practiced all over the world.
But can you call that, what was the plantain called in today?
Kupa kupa.
Kupa kupa. So that was here before, it wasn't an introduced species. It's always been here?
It
It grows everywhere. So, yeah.
And that, I mean, if it can grow in Australia, where Isabel's from.
Well, because it only grows where the land's been disturbed. So as soon as a footprint came on, then that would have started
to
grow.
Yeah, it had those seeds in it because they stick to you, don't they?
Yeah.
Right.
So like Captain Cook, he must have had some seeds stuck on his
boots. That and among a few others. Yeah.
And the Maori were like, what? Yeah. What's this new plant? Oh, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, so it's...
So you don't necessarily... Oh, sorry, to have to venture deep into the bush to find your remedy.
Yeah.
Are there any particular plants that you maybe do have to... You find harder to source?
It's getting harder to source. So certain plants, because as... Rongo becomes more known, more plants are obviously being harvested, and so some of those plants that we used to see in abundance are starting to, we're not seeing them as much. And one particular plant would be, or two actually, is the kauakaua and the kumarahou. Those two plants. Kumarahou only grows up north, and I used to see it quite a bit in the Waitakere Ranges. It was easy to find, but because of the strength of its properties now, you know, that it's been over-harvested.
What's kumarahou?
So kumarahou is like Pomaderis kumarahou, but it's really good for respiratory system and eliminating the mucus from the lungs, and it's a general health tonic. It's very bitter, but it is amazing.
It's a shrub, little shrub with what colour flowers? Yellowy?
It's kind of got like a beautiful green. It starts off with yellowy. It's a beautiful green leaf, but underneath it's kind of like a grey. It looks like clay. It reminds me of clay, but the flowers are a bright yellow, and you'll see them in the springtime.
Okay, cool.
Do you use the flowers or the leaves?
I use the leaves. And the best time to harvest kumarahou is January when they have seeded, because the best, and that keeps it sustainable so that the plant can keep growing. What's happening is that people are going to harvest it at all times of the year, and it's not having a chance to replenish. But it's a natural thing. You want to run out and get this medicine. But if we wait until it's
The
right time, which is around January, February, to harvest its leaves.
Okay. Is it easy enough to grow if you wanted to grow it in your backyard?
I've heard some people have a few challenges. I don't think it's easy to transplant.
Okay.
So that's always an issue. It's not easy, actually, because it needs clay. It needs a particular... I mean, all plants need their type of environment that they're used to. Otherwise, they're not going to have the mana that they usually have.
I would have thought it would have been easier because we're in clay soil.
I know. But they're kind of like...
maybe it's just one of those like fussy plants that everything's got to be just so.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It likes a certain type of lighting. Like it does like dappled light.
Okay.
Yeah. And it kind of likes banks.
Hard to achieve on your backyard.
Would you say the same about kauakaua?
Kauakaua is easy to grow, so you could grow that in your backyard because it likes shade. And that's your medicine cabinet right there because it helps to clean the blood, it helps to ground you. The thing is, you know, it is a blood thinner, so it is going to be a contraindication for anyone that's on heart medication. Okay. So you're just bearing that in mind too.
Definitely. I quite like the taste of kauakaua. I put it in my salad sometimes. Just adds that nice little peppery flavour. Yeah, chop it up and I've managed to get a kauakaua going in my corner. It took a while for it to get us, but now it's
I bet. Absolutely. So it took a while to start, and then the leaves are really huge now.
I'm having to like actually prune it. That's going in the drum fire on Saturday, Selena.
We're just having Guy Fawkes.
conversation earlier.
Well, sounds interesting.
Yeah, it will be.
Going to our plant of the week.
Of all the saddest words, that I have ever heard. The saddest is a story told me by a bird.
Now, our plant of the week, I have chosen flax or harakeke. Because it grows in the sun, and that's the one that I can grow in my backyard. My notes on harakeke. Well,
I think it's going to be, I think there's a lot of potential with global warming and everything. It's a tough plant.
It's a tough plant.
And, you know, getting rid of it can be, if you are going to go out and plant lots of it, just beware that, you know,
multiplies.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a lot of potential for this plant. Yeah, let's delve into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's two main types of flax in New Zealand. The Latin name is Phormium, because there is another plant called flax, which is a totally different variety. We're not going to talk about that one. We're talking about the New Zealand one. And within this Phormium group, there's two main types or varieties or cultivars. Varieties. There's the Cookianum or Mountain Flax, or also Mount Cook Flax, which is a smaller flax than your common flax, which is Phormium tenax. And that is the large weeping form that you see everywhere. And yes, both of them will grow pretty much anywhere in the sun. And it doesn't mind damp or wet, and it can grow in the dry, it can grow in clay.
What about colder regions? How does it go down south? I haven't seen many flax bushes in the mountainous areas.
Just apart from, like, rock lilies and the harakeke that you were just talking about before. It is pretty sturdy. They can grow almost anywhere, and they absorb the water. So from what I know about harakeke is that their main role is to absorb water, so that's why they grow really well around swamps. And water areas, and they can, and that's what they were used for, was to filter the water or to absorb the water. So
it's a really useful plant to plant around your boggier sites.
Definitely.
And if you see cabbage trees around, a good companion plant.
Four
cabbage trees.
Yeah, and they look nice together too.
They look beautiful.
Yeah.
And so right now, the harakeke is in flower. And, you know, most of them are in flower, and of course they attract the wonderful tui as well. So there's so much going on about harakeke. You know, it's mainly used for weaving. But one of the rongoā to use with harakeke is the gel that's at the end of the flax frond or the flax leaf can be used for skin conditions or skin irritants or things like that. You can just pop the gel on to any rash or anything. It's like an antiseptic.
Are we talking about the pointy end of the flax?
The other end, where it's down by the root on the top of the soil.
Yeah.
So when you're harvesting harakeke, there's a tikanga behind it, which is the flax grow in the family, in a whānau, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So the centre one is the baby, and on the outside are the parents, and then the grandparents, and it goes on the outside. So it's best to harvest right on the outside to protect that baby that's in the centre. And then when you harvest a leaf, you can use the gel. So right at the bottom you would harvest, and then you can use the gel for any sunburn, because it's very cooling as well. But really simple. If you've got harakeke growing around, then that, you know, use that for those kind of conditions. And that was the main reason about rongoā, is that whatever's growing around you is what you would use. You don't need to travel long distances, because most of the plants
I know what you're saying, like, depending on the environment.
Yeah.
You know, God will provide.
Yeah.
So if it's a hot, dry or toxic environment, the plants that are growing there because of whatever conditions are probably what you need as well.
Yes,
as much as what the soil's needing.
Like, Yeah. That's another kōrero, and it's a beautiful one, and I'm happy to go there if you want me to, because it's stunning, and I love that one.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if we have time.
Definitely. It could be another show. But, so for me, it sounds like it's got similar properties to the aloe plant. So
yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because I'm very fair-skinned, and I'm always using aloe vera because I'm, I only need to be in the sun 10 minutes and I'm burnt. And, and it's not just sunburn. It's like hot water burns, steam burns, things like that. It's a great plant for that, right?
Yes. So do you use the aloe vera naturally or do you... Fantastic.
Mm. You described with the flax.
Yeah.
Yeah, cut it at the base and then scrape off the skin on the outside and use the gel on the inside.
Yes.
I didn't even know there was a gel inside flax because it always seemed like... Because aloe is kind of like, it's a succulent.
Yeah, it's fleshy, but you'd think the flax is quite thin.
Mm. We use it for weaving and baskets, right. And I didn't realise. But then if aloe vera dries, if you let it just dry out, it goes really hard, like flax as well. Yeah, wood.
I think they are quite related, part of the same plant family.
Yeah, they grow in
the agave.
Right.
And they have that similar shape. They're like a fan.
Mm.
So, yeah, you're just making that connection.
Fantastic.
And then aloe also will grow in those hot climates quite easily, like a flax would. And soils that you think, what on earth would, grow there? And, so I don't know if aloe would go so well in swampy areas. But, so it's sort of like it's there. I'll use it. And it always seems to be there at the right time,
it's
growing
good.
Beautifully, especially on those hot days when you burn. You think,
That's good. Yeah. And because aloe, you harvest at night, is that right? I've heard. Really interesting.
It is an interesting plant. I do often harvest at night just because, that's when I've got some spare time.
Fabulous.
But it tends to come with my aloe plant. I've got a couple.
Yeah.
But they seem to harvest a lot of snails.
same with honeycomb.
And hedgehogs and... Yeah,
great
we found
habitats.
Some interesting things in flaxes, flax
they
bushes.
Like a brother from another mother.
Snails. I go to the aloe plant at night and I found about 50 snails on my aloe plant and just... it's always interesting, but why night though? What's the theory behind?
I'm not sure. Maybe that is when its pores... Something, it'll be something to do with its pores when it lets its juices or when it lets its things move. Yeah, it's just something I heard.
Okay.
And I thought that was really interesting. It got me excited.
Yeah.
Speaking of different uses for harakeke, as well as, weaving, also floral arrangements.
Mm.
Very well-loved plant for that because the leaves last a long time.
Yeah.
And they can come in so many different colours now.
And it can add height to a floral arrangement too if you really want to, I might tear up. They used them at my dad's funeral. They had beautiful big tall arrangements and they used the harakeke.
Mm.
So the colours you can get now, like all colours of the rainbow almost. So not just green, but you've got your purples and blacks and then yellow stripy ones.
Really?
And orangey ones and pink ones.
I've only ever noticed the purple ones, really, to be honest. I've never really paid that much attention to it.
No. People have been breeding them.
Okay.
And come up with all these different colours.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing. Although I'm saying that the newer varieties, they can be not as hardy as the original.
Right.
So you might have to, they might be a bit more fussy where they're planted.
Yeah.
And sometimes they might revert back to their original form. And so maybe after a few years they've decided they're tired of putting all their colours out and they want to hide a bit.
What about, I know that you didn't really want to get into the linseed flax, although I thought linseed was a flower, to be honest. I don't know.
The other plant that's also named flax.
But I was thinking, because I use flax seeds as one of my supplements. Have you heard of any use? I mean, the tuas, are they after the seed?
I use the seeds from the flax. So when they start, when they're dried, so when the kōrari has dried, this is the stem where it flowers, you can collect the pods, and then they've got the little seeds inside, which look just like, or similar to linseed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And similar properties?
Possibly,
yeah. Because the linseed was all the rage. Everyone was on it at one point. But
I use it just because I've got harakeke at home and I like to use what's around me. I like foraging. And so if they've got seeds in them and they're edible, I add them to smoothies. I add them to...
Okay, so you can eat them.
I'm going to look into that.
Because their seed pods look kind of like beans.
They do.
And you think, oh, could I eat that?
But when you open it, it's got all the seeds inside.
Or like peas or something. Yeah.
And so the flowers have got the nectar inside, which is what the tui go for.
Right.
And so we can, if you can get it drink before it. The tui, we can drink that too. And that's that beautiful sugary sweetness.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that energy after winter when it comes out.
Oh, lovely.
Tui juice.
Have you had that?
Okay. I have tried it, but because it's, I just now just leave it for the birds.
They're usually first in, they know. And, you know, they are, I just love that about animals. They are so in tune.
Yes.
With it all out there. They're on it before. Yeah. We are usually. I don't think I've had one olive for my tree yet.
I just wrote about that. So I wrote about the flowers, just as the harakeke, just before it opens, they have all this energy, and the tui just fly backwards and forwards, waiting for this flower to open. They're in a frenzy.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
They've got this just sort of, it's like a beacon, and they're like, oh, right, now's the time. Boom.
To be
perfect.
The first
one. They pay attention, don't they? I feel like we as humans, we're not paying attention to, our environment.
They know what's coming up, the food's coming from.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just, it's beautiful, and we should pay more attention. I think we're going to have to go back to that.
Yeah.
We can't rely on manufacturers to do it for us all the time.
Yeah.
So gardeners, to attract more tuis, plant more flax.
Yes.
Looking after your flax, any tip? A good tip is to have a flax cutter. Don't just use your kitchen scissors, because they'll probably
You can kiss them goodbye. So what are we talking, like a serrated, like sharp-edged
knife? Special ones you can buy now.
And don't get them caught up in the lawnmower. All right?
Oh, no.
You'll upset hubby.
Don't
or dad.
Plant them near the lawn.
I don't know how many times I used to do that to our lawnmower, and dad would just be like, that's it, you're not mowing the lawns again. And that was flax all in there.
And then all the flax would be raggedy.
Yes.
And when you cut the leaves, I guess then you can start using them for your weaving.
Fun. Yeah. That's still around. Never died.
That's going to be a whole other show.
Absolutely beautiful.
Now, so that's our flax. Oh, and one other last thing is, if you are going to use your flax leaves for weaving, what I've seen is the other tool is the mussel shell to scrape off the green.
Yeah.
So you get your fibres.
Yep, so that's called the mukka. And so you might get a weaver come on and talk about that. That's their domain.
Well, thank you, Joanne, for coming in. It's been lovely chatting with you all about Ōngoa.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it.
We've learned so much.
Do you have a website or a...
Yes, I do. It's www.joannehakaraya.com.
We'll put that on our podcast then for you. And any listeners that are keen to explore this further can do so.
All right. Happy gardening, everyone.
See you later, guys.
Ka kite.
Oh. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back.